Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Chile Q4 and full year 2021 results conference call. My name is Gigi, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in Enel Chile's press release reporting its Q4 and full year 2021 results. The presentation accompanying this conference call and Enel Chile's annual report on Form 20-F, including under Risk Factors. You may access our Q4 and full year 2021 results press release and presentation on our website, www.enel.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their date. Enel Chile undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mrs. Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Chile. Please proceed.
Buenas tardes, good afternoon, and welcome to Enel Chile's fourth quarter and full year 2021 results presentation. Thank you all for joining us today. I am Isabela Clemes, the Head of Investor Relations. Let me remind you that our presentation and related financial information are available on our website, www.enel.cl, in the Investors section and in our app Investors. In the final of the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions via phone or webcast chat through the link Ask a Question. Joining me this morning, this afternoon, our CEO, Paolo Paolotti, and our CFO, Giuseppe Turchiarelli. In the following slides, Paolo will open the presentation with the main highlights of our company performance and strategic updates. Then Giuseppe will walk us through our financial results. A replay of the call will be available, and as always, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information you may need concerning the figures detailed in this presentation. Let me remind you that media participants are connected only in listening mode. Thank you all for your attention, and now let me hand over to Paolo.
Thank you, Isabela. Good morning, and I would say good afternoon at this stage, and thank you for joining us. As we have already commented during our previous calls, the Chilean electricity system has been affected by several and contemporary phenomena that put under pressure its dynamics and stability. In terms of hydrology, the country is facing one of the driest periods of its history. The overall inflow levels of 2021 have been the lower of all hydrological conditions, while the level of basins continues to be poorer, with important consequences correlated on correlated sectors like the electric and agriculture ones, among others. Furthermore, a higher demand for commodities as a consequence of larger support from thermal generation came in a year of increased pressure at global level and lack availability of Argentinian natural gas during almost the first nine months of 2021. The combination of all these effects, in addition to a structural delay of renewable project at country level, constrained our 2021 margins and our cash flow generation capability, the latter one also affected by such laws as basic service law and the price stabilization mechanism. We already mentioned the several actions we put in place since the first month of 2021 to improve gas availability, buying additional LNG cargos to supply our plants at first and then to sell gas in the system, being the large importer of LNG gas in the country for the year. In this challenging scenario, with tough conditions imposed by the duration of the pandemic, we have been able to advance with our renewable project, increasing of 900 megawatts the stored capacity over the period. Additional projects are ongoing, I will recall you later. We have also started to link the issuing of new credit lines to sustainability targets. Today, 21% stake of the total debt is SDG linked. As we mentioned in our last strategic plan presentation, we target to achieve a 52% stake of this kind of financing by 2054. Regarding the ESG world, we are pleased to announce that we have been included in the Bloomberg Gender Equality Index for the first time. Also, we apply for the first time to the CDP Climate Change, obtaining a B score. This confirms that we are taking coordinated and consistent actions on climate change. Now, let's move to slide 4 to give you an update about the market situation. In 2021, the system has less water availability than in 2020, with poor hydrology only slightly better than the driest year recorded. That was 1998 and 1999. The effects of melting season have been very poor and very limited because of the level of the snow accumulated in the winter period. In the second half of the year, some limited positive effects on the use of water resources derived from the issuing of the preventive rationing decree and the agreements that we reached with some communities. With the lack of Argentinian export of natural gas for the period of fall 2020, early 21, some players have been forced to buy in the spot market to support their generation position, facing a significant overall increase in commodity price as a consequence of the international market situation. Gas prices more than tripled from the fourth quarter 2020 to the second half of 2021. In addition, the delay of expected CODs or renewable projects at country level, due also to sanitary restrictions, have a monthly effect on the system that can be considered equal to the lack of production of two CCGTs of 350 megawatts. All the above mentioned factors led to a strong pressure to the system, with an important rise in margin cost, particularly during the third quarter of 2021 and the issuing of the preventive rationing decree. The situation slightly improved during the fourth quarter of last year, thanks in particular to the availability return of Argentinian gas in the Chilean market that has been supplied on a stable manner until the end of the year. In the chart, in the graph in the center, the green areas illustrate the usage of natural gas coming from Argentina versus the usage of LNG, blue areas. As a result, the spot price recovered in the fourth quarter, even if the good performance has been affected by contemporary technical outages of several thermal plants in the system. Also, important to notice that the 2021 electric demand has risen 5% over 2020. We expect that this growth will continue in 2022. Let's now have a view on the regulatory framework of the energy sector. Let's go to slide 5. On transmission business, the expert panel published the discrepancy report regarding the regulatory period of 2020-2023. Now the process is almost at the end, only pending the publication of the decree by the authorities. Considering the available information, we do not expect negative effects on the estimated tariff level already predicted. The process of distribution tariffs review is still in progress. No material advances have been made during the last month, and the final distribution tariff decree is expected to be released by the end of 2022 or early 2023. A significant review of the basic service law has been approved by the Congress and recently published, addressing the treatment of the debt incurred by the residential clients and small companies between March 2020 and December 2021. The electricity consumption threshold of 250 kilowatt hour per month has been established to define the customers that will be subject to the effect of the law. Customers with consumptions up to 250 kWh per month will schedule the payment of their debts in 48 installments, with a limit of 15% of the average bill in 2021. The government will subsidize such quotas. If an outstanding balance will be in place at the end of the 48 installments, these will be addressed in agreement between distribution companies and government. On the other hand, customers with over 250 kWh monthly consumption are subject to the standard rules already in place before the pandemic, with the possibility of being cut off from the service in case of not repayment of either the existing debt or the current bill. On December 31, 2021, our total outstanding debt reached $210 million, of which $140 million US dollar can be referred to residential, being $32 million below the threshold of $250. Concerning the energy stabilization mechanism, according to the CNE estimates, the fund will reach its legal top of $1,350 million by June 2022. As of December 21, Enel Chile's net accounts reached $283 million. Now, let's make an overview on our decarbonization process on page number 6. In 2021, we successfully connected 900 megawatt of renewable projects, of which more than 90% are solar. With this milestone, we have achieved a total amount of 8 gigawatt of stored capacity, of which 70% renewable. Such capacity, already connected to the network, will reach the full production within the next month once all the tests are concluded. Let's go on slide 7. In addition to the recently connected project mentioned before, we are advancing with more than 1.4 gigawatts of additional projects. Those megawatts include projects under construction since the last year and the new ones already announced, like La Cabaña Rue, wind facility whose construction will start in the following month, and Campo del Sol 2 and Sierra Gorda solar plants already under construction. Regarding our JV on green hydrogen with Eni and other partners, the wind turbine designed for high-speed wind recently arrived to Chile from Shanghai. We expect to start operation during this year, and it will be an important milestone in the development of the green hydrogen in Chile. Now let's review our network KPIs on slide number 8. We continue to deploy the digitalization of our commercial channels. In 2021, 90% of our clients' interactions were executed through digital channels. Nonetheless, the complexity introduced by the pandemic situation, we have been able to enhance the quality of customer care, also thanks to the introduction of our APP app and WhatsApp interface. On the network side, our quality indicators continue to improve, supported by the increase of automation at any level of our grids. The digitalization of the low voltage networks, where the smart meters will have an important role, is driving to lower SAIDI figures and continue improving our overall quality of service. Losses levels are playing stable, and we might see some reduction through 2022. To conclude, energy distribution improvement in 2021 reflects the easing of the sanitary restriction and the overall economic recovery, showing a 5% increase compared to 2020 and reaching pre-pandemic levels. Now let's move to the stabilization focus on the final clients. Let's go on page number 9. Enel Chile is pushing on the electrification of the final use of the energy, promoting the integration and development of new sustainable technologies. In January, we launched the first electrostation service in Latin America as a milestone for the growth and expansion of electromobility in Chile. This charging station, located in a strategic industrial sector of Santiago, has a total of 23 charging points to use through the Juice Pass app. This initiative will support the reduction of 240 tons of CO2 per year. In collaboration with government authorities, last December, Enalix presented the first smart square in Chile on services related to smart cities. The park has analytic video camera, security totem, environmental sensors, and charging points. Thanks to this collaborative project with the Subsecretary of Telecommunication, WOM, and the Municipality of La Florida, inclusive technology is closer to everyone. Thank you, and now I will hand over to Giuseppe.
Thanks, Paolo. Let me start with a quick summary of our financial highlights on slide 11. Full year 2021 adjusted EBITDA reached $0.8 billion, 37% lower than last year, and the Q4 adjusted EBITDA reached $253 million. The figure is aligned with our 2021 guidance previously reported. In terms of...
Okay, thank you very much, Giuseppe. Sorry for it, we have a problem connection, Giuseppe, please.
Okay, so let's start with a quick summary of our main financial highlights on slide 11. Full year 2021 adjusted EBITDA reached $0.8 billion, 37% lower than last year, and the Q4 adjusted EBITDA reached $253 million. The figure is aligned with our 2021 guidance previously reported. In terms of adjusted net income, our $0.2 billion full year results are in line with our guidance for the year. In the last quarter, figures reached $96 million. CapEx stood at $1.1 billion, 12% higher than 2020, mostly in line with our guidance. FFO achieved $441 million, presenting a 49% reduction year-on-year. In the following slide, we will deep dive into the main financial figures. Now, let's begin with the CAPEX on slide 12. 2021 accumulated CAPEX reached $1.1 billion, out of which 96% allocated to achieve the SDG goals, particularly devoted to the construction of our new renewable park. Customer CAPEX totaled $80 million, mainly allocated to build new connections and to implement our new distribution commercial system. asset management CapEx reached $141 million, 17% higher than full year 2020, mainly due to expansion of the new high voltage project awarded in 2021, activities to improve the quality of our services, and other digitalization projects. Development CapEx reached $960 million, mostly driven by our renewable expansion program and development of our distribution business to continue the digitalization of our network. The development of the renewable CapEx was concentrated in the solar expansion, considering the several solar projects under construction and recently connected to the grid. Regarding the network business, 2021 CapEx reached $200 million, mainly for the new customer connection and improvement of the quality of the grid, both in our distribution and transmission business. In the following slide, I will show you more detail about the main generation KPI in the period. In slide 13, generation of the fourth quarter was affected by poor hydrology in the country, which reduced our hydro generation by 1 terawatt hour and increased our thermal dispatch by 0.9 terawatt hour, mainly through our CCGT facilities. Therefore, our Q4 2021 production reached 5.2 terawatt hour, decreasing 1% versus Q4 2020. For the year 2021, our production reached 19 terawatt hour, slightly lower than 2020, ending with 2 terawatt hour lower hydro production because of poor hydrology in the year. Our energy sales increased 26% as of December 2021, primarily explained by new contracts with key customers, including Anglo America and BHP, and retail clients transferred from Enel Distribución Chile as part of the unbundling regulation requirements. For what concerns our sourcing, on top of the already mentioned production variances, during 2021 we accounted a total increase of 6 terawatt hour of purchases, which include 3.7 on the spot market and plus 2.3 terawatt hour from other generators, related to the unregulated customer portfolio of contracts coming from the distribution business. Let's now start with the Q4 adjusted EBITDA breakdown on slide 14, that accounted $253 million, 33% lower versus 2020 figures. Let me describe the main variances. Our generation portfolio mix resulted in a positive variation of $83 million, mainly related to higher PPA sales in Q4 2021, primarily explained by the new agreement started in 2021 with the mining company, as Anglo American and BHP, readjustment due to indexation, and the new contract coming from Enel Distribución with customer portfolio at the beginning of the year, partially offset by $56 million related to higher thermal generation costs and higher spot purchases. These positive results of our portfolio mix were offset by worse hydrology conditions, impacting in $88 million, and $99 million related to higher commodity prices that impacted both the spot prices and our unit rate generation costs. Network remuneration demand accounting for a positive impact of $7 million, related to a recovery of the Q4 2021 demand in the distribution business, mainly associated to the release of the local lockdown measures, and positive indexation in the tariff. Other effects accounted for $27 million, mainly related to negative impact associated to the financial hedge, energy stabilization mechanism impact on EBITDA, and lower capitalization at the generation business due to the end of construction of several projects. Let's move to slide 15, where we have the summary of full-year adjusted EBITDA breakdown accounting for $774 million, 37% lower versus 2020 figures. As you can see, the main aspects are the same that we presented for the Q4. Our generation portfolio mix resulted in a positive variation of $35 million, mainly related to $171 million higher PPA sales in 2021, primarily explained by the new agreement started in 2021, readjustment due to indexation, and the new contract coming from Enel Distribution with customer portfolio at the beginning of the year, partially offset by $136 million related to the higher thermal generation costs and higher spot prices. These positive results of our portfolio mix were offset by worse hydro condition of around 2 terawatt hours, impacting for $199 million, and $255 million related to the higher commodity price that impacts both the spot prices and our unitary generation costs. Network remuneration and demand accounting for a negative impact of $90 million related to lower network remuneration related to the expected lower distribution and transmission tariffs, partially offset by higher volume. Other effects accounted for $90 million, mainly related to lower capitalization of generation business due to the end of construction of several projects, insurance reimbursement booked in 2020, and new contract agreement booked in Q1 2021 with Enel Distribution Union. Now, on slide 16, let's go through the main drivers of our group net income. D&A impairments and bad debt reached $388 million. $15 million lower than last year, mainly related to lower D&A in Enel Generación due to the Boca Mina 2 impairment made in 2020, and lower D&A in Enel Green Power assets due to an appreciation of the Chilean pesos in the period. Net financial charges totaled an expense of $189 million, an increase of $58 million, mainly due to higher cost as a result of the factoring executed in generation business on accounting receivable that arise from the tariff stabilization law, partially offset by a higher financial expense capitalized during 2021. Income taxes variances reflect the impact related to lower results in the period, partially offset by positive effects in 2020 because of corporate reorganization and generation business and monetary tax adjustment in 2021 due to CPI impact. As a result of the adjustment, full year 2021 net income reached $198 million. Moving now to cash flow on slide 17. 2021 FFO reached $541 million, 49% lower than previous year, mainly resulting from lower EBITDA, as already explained, higher income tax during 2021, mainly related to COVID-19 measures during 2020 that postponed part of the corporate tax payment to 2021, in addition to lower tax reimbursement in Chile versus 2020. And higher financial expense, mainly explained by the cost of factoring of accounts receivable that arise from the tariff stabilization law and the cost of factoring in distribution business. These effects were partially offset by a positive impact related to the net working capital versus 2021-20, mainly explained by factoring in both generation and distribution business accounted for almost $228 million. Transmission line sales in 2020 and 2021, corresponding to Enel Generazione Chile sales of Quintero San Luis transmission line and the sale of stake in Transmissora Elettrica Iota SDBA, respectively, with a total positive cash impact of $40 million in 2021, partially offset by lower collection in 2021 and the sales of EBITDA in 2020. Let me now go through our debt evolution on slide 18. Our gross debt increased by $1 billion, amounting to $5 billion as of December 2021, due to the intercompany loan provided by Enel Finance International to Enel Chile for $840 million, the bank loan for around $100 million, mainly to fund CAPEX needs, and also $114 million increase in leasing agreement in EGP due to the renewable development. These transactions were partially offset by $43 million cotization of Enel Generazione Chile local bond. Therefore, currently 21% of our total gross debt is SDG linked. Our plan is to continue to push this kind of debt in line with our sustainable business strategy. In terms of debt amortization, our schedule remains sustainable with an average of 6 years, and with the cost of such substantially aligned with the last year figures. In terms of liquidity, we continue to have a comfortable position. We are reserving some available committed line considering the possible headwinds in the debt market coming from the international conflict in Eastern Europe. For this year, we have around $400 million of a debt at the NHC level with AFI, with maturity in December. We have already started to look at and evaluate several opportunities in the local international market. And now I will leave the floor to Paolo for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Giuseppe. The construction of our renewable project is advancing, improving the competitiveness and resilience of our generation portfolio and supporting our long-term ambition regarding decarbonization. We will continue to support the electrification of the energy use of our clients to accelerate the reach of net zero ambition. The implementation of our strategy continues to reflect the highest ESG standards. For example, we have been scored by the CDP Climate Change with a B that confirms that we are taking coordinated actions on climate change. For another year, we were included in the Standards & Poor's Global Yearbook 2022 as a Silver Class company. This reflects our solid performance regarding the sustainability of our operations. We are advancing in the development and deployment of a proper asset rotation to support the implementation of our commercial strategy, strengthening a sound leverage structure. As you may be aware, today we have announced my departure from Enel Chile to assume another position within Enel Group. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all the colleagues in Enel Chile, the management team, that work together with me for all the support during these intense years, where all of us have been called for a very strong effort to manage the business in a turbulent environment. Also, I would like to thank you for all the interesting interaction during our calls and our meetings. I hope things can come soon to normality in order to deal with regular businesses and not with the tremendous situation that we are hearing is going on in Ukraine. By tomorrow, Fabrizio Barberi is going to step in as the new CEO of Enel Chile. I wish to Fabrizio all the success for the years to come. Now, let's open the Q&A section.
Many thanks, Paolo, for your words. Thank you for all your attention. As anticipated, we will receive questions via phone and chat in the webcast on this occasion. The Q&A section is then open. Operator, please, you may start.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Enrico Bartoli from Stifel. Your line is now open.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three, actually. The first one is regarding slide 23 of the presentation, where you highlight the evolution of EBITDA in the network business from distribution and transmission. So if you can guide us a bit in the relative movements of the two components, transmission and distribution, with distribution going down in 21, but recovery in Q4, and the transmission contribution instead going down in the fourth quarter. And if you can guide us on how you expect these two components to move along to 2022. Second question is related to the an update on the outlook, what you expect in terms of hydrology, considering the first 2 months of the year for 2022, and if you can update us on the guidance for EBITDA for the whole year. And the third one is regarding your the mention of on asset rotation in slide 19. If you can give some flavor on what kind of asset you will be considering to be transferred in asset rotation transactions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Enrico, for your questions. Let me take the last two questions and then I leave the first one to Giuseppe. Regarding hydrology, I would like to share, let's say, a larger view on this, just to consider which is the evolution of the sector in terms of resources. Because if we look at just the contribution of water resources, clearly the situation is not increasing so much. The effect of the melting season was poor, because of the low level of snow accumulated during winter time. And the positive effect on this is that during the last quarter of 2021, the sector, also we benefit from gas coming from Argentina. And so this allowed to have, let's say, a management of the resources that allow to, let's say, limit the use of water resources into the basin. If we look at how we close the years and how we are opening in terms of availability of resources in the basin, we are in line with the expectation. And just to consider this is totally different from what happened end of 2020, beginning of 2021, when the total lack of Argentinian gas required the coordinator of the grid of the networks to call for additional use of water, and so we reached the end of 2021, early 2021, with a low level of basin, but also without gas, because of lack of Argentinian gas. So this, from this point of view, the situation is, let's say, all in all, can be considered better, even if we focus on hydrology, nothing has changed, really. The other important point is that in the first 4 months of 2022, there is the continue to be availability of Argentinian gas. And so this allow first to, let's say, to manage properly the resources, and second also to optimize also the use of LNG that the Elvin plan since the end of last year to deliver within 2022. So just to make the long story short, water availability is still to be very low. Additional resources are improving a little bit the overall situation, even if we look at just the spot price market, the level is still under pressure, continue to be a little bit high because of some outages that we envisage in the sector between the end of 2021 and this early stage in 2022. Regarding asset rotation, let me make a general statement here. We had some optimization perimeter, as Giuseppe mentioned, in order to sell some non-core assets. And we are working also to address a larger part of the asset rotation that at this stage is still to be still continue to be confidential. So I cannot highlight and describe the contents of the action that we are improving, we are performing, but let me say that we are advancing to our target. And to set for the first question.
Yeah, so talking about the EBITDA, let's move to slide 16 just for the guide. In terms of generation, as we said, we have an important impact for what concerns the sales of PPA. As I said before, we have a new agreement in place in 2021 that accounts for around $110 million. The remaining part to complement the $151 million are related to the readjustments due to the indexation. So basically, this is the breakdown of $151 million. And for what concerns the $136 million that we see there in terms of variable costs, I can tell you that it's almost 50-50. I mean, we have around $70 million that is coming from the higher thermal generation costs and the remaining part because of higher spot purchases. This for what concerns the portfolio mix. The hydrology, as I said, have an impact that is around $200 million. In this case, you know, this impact you can split into parts. One is related to the pure volume. The other one is the impact of lower hydrology on the spot price. So let me say that this $200 million includes all. And for what concerns the $255 million. Also in this case, we have a split that we can say is around $100 million for the spot price and around $100 million and less and the remaining part for the variable cost. Networks, as I said, we have a $19 million lower than last year. Basically, because of the remuneration that changed at the end of 2020, as you remember, the new tariff, at least the provision of the new tariff, we started in November 2020, so we have around $19 million coming from distribution and less than $10 million from the tariff that has been offset by the higher volume because last year, because of the start of COVID measure, the volume was pretty lower than 2021. So these are the main effects for what concerns the business. And the other effect already discussed, coming from lower capitalization and insurance reimbursement that has been booked in 2020 and new contract agreement in distribution and distribution in 2021. Labor agreement, I mean.
Thank you very much. Very, very clear. Just a follow-up regarding the andrology. That means that since the ISO volumes are expected in line with your forecast, also the guidance that you provided for the full year in terms of BDA is confirmed, is in line with how things are going on.
Regarding the volumes that are within our forecast, let me say, just to have a look at January, that the excellence, this means the level of the measurement of the capability of production of our plants is, let's say, very high. So there is not going to increase. But let me say that there is a quite smart use of the basin that can support our evolution. So I cannot say that if the first month can be in line with our expectation. If we look at just 1 month forecast, there is a difference of approximately 100 gigawatt hours. Made, but within effect, that part of this discrepancy is derived by the use, the way in which the plant has been dispatched by the coordinator Elettrico Nazionale. And so there is this gap is very limited and is based also on the way in which the plant has been dispatched.
Thank you very much. Very, very helpful.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our next question comes from the line of Sarah Piccinini from Mediobanca. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions and congratulations for your opportunity. I have a first question on renewables. If you can please clarify how much is the level of capacity that you have secured for the coming years and how much is the level of capex that you have contracted. So if you see an increase in this capex related to higher commodity prices or inflation, or you feel comfortable with that. The second question is on the level of working capital. If you can please explain again the level of factoring that you include in this working capital and how the stabilization mechanism works. So how much is the level of working capital that we can expect for 2022? And also if you see an improvement in the collection activity. Then just two clarifications. Regarding the PPA, it seems that the highest contribution from the PPA is in this fourth quarter, correct? So why there is this increase in the PPA? Maybe because the indexation has been particularly favorable in the fourth quarter. And finally, regarding the tariffs for the distribution and transmission business, so can we say that the regulatory review for the transmission business is set, so we expect that the outcome is likely to be confirmed, while in the distribution business the discussion is still ongoing and when we will have visibility on the process to be almost completed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. There are a lot of questions. I hope that I catch all of them. Maybe that you can highlight and bring you something. Let's start from the end. So let me give you an highlight on the regulatory framework, and then I leave Giuseppe to go through the numbers. There are plus and minus in the recent developments. The plus, in terms of timing at least, is that the new transmission tariff scheme, let's say, should be at the very final stage. The panel of experts already defined the position in all the discrepancies that are submitted to them. Now we are waiting for the issuing of the tariff decree. So we should, let's say, even if I ask you all to consider that we are in a quite peculiar situation, considering that by the 11th of March the new government will enter, will take place. So maybe that this discontinuity may add some delay in important decision in several sectors, including energy. So the process is ongoing. There are no big debate on this. So on transmission, let's say, I would not see major problem. Regarding distribution is a different story, because we are the third or the fourth issuing of technical report by the advice, by the consultants of the regulator. And still the point here is pending. We submit our let's say, comments on the report, but we are not advanced. So maybe this is another item that is a real item that can go under the scrutiny of the new government. Let me call it positive. Advance is on the basic service law. Because after, let's say, many months of discussion, a law has been approved by the Congress and signed and published that is trying to fix certain elements and also to allow the company to come back to the normality. In the sense that on one side there is a clear and simple definition on clients that need the support. And the support in this case is coming from the state. So clients with a consumption below 250 kilowatt hour per month and has a debt created during the pandemic period can pay their debt in 48 installments with a cap, and such installment is are going to pay by the state. The important point here is that the clients are in charge to pay their current bill. If they stop paying also the current bills, they will go under the cut-off scheme. That is the one that is we are going to apply directly to the clients with a consumption above 250. Then can be cut off if they not repay the existing debt arising during the pandemic period, or they are not paying their current bills. So it is a step ahead in the trying to reach the regularity, even if clearly there is 2022 we consider a year of recovery. So we are going to recover, first of all, for the payment of the subsidies coming from the state, but also we are starting during these weeks, during these days, to put in place a cut-off scheme for the bad payers that are not in line and are not going to put in on a normal situation their position. So this is, a good step ahead. Regarding other pending elements, I would mention also something that is just mentioned. So there is no real or formal action ongoing regarding the stabilization tariff mechanism, because all the players in the sector are expecting that the fund will be covered by June, next June, And so everybody is, let's say, thinking, talking about what next. I think that this is something that we needs to be addressed by the new governor, the new ministry, going when it will be in place, because clearly it's something that has an impact on the generation sector and at the same time also on the tariff to the final clients. And Giuseppe, leave for the explanation numbers. I don't know if you catch all the questions.
Yeah, so for what concerns the net working capital, let me say that 2021 was an important year in terms of factoring for both generation and distribution, specifically for what concerns the receivable coming from the stabilization price mechanism, where we made more than $200 million in terms of factoring, in terms of cash in. And all in all, factoring including generation and distribution, we reach around $300 million in 2021. So something like $230 million higher than last year. Of course, how much the receivable coming from this law is going to be during 2022 is depend on the exchange rate. So we don't know right now. I mean, it's difficult to have a projection, but in any case, as of today, there is a law where once the receivable reached the top, there should be an adjustment in the price, the tariff, in order to recover the additional receivable. For what concerns the level of collection, yes, we wish to improve a little bit in comparison to 2020. Of course, 2020 was the first year of the so-called lay of servizios basico. So clearly we had an impact now in 2021 through normal measure. We reached to improve the percentage in terms of collection, but of course the impact in the net working capital was significant, more than $100 million. I believe that the last question was about the level of capacity. I didn't catch very well this.
Yeah, I can repeat if you want.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's about the capacity additions that you have for renewables in the coming years, and if you have already contracted the capex for this new capacity, or you expect some higher capex due to the commodity prices. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, in general, of course, some projects are more than others, depending on the stage of the construction. Let me say this. In average, I would say more than 50%. I can find it out, maybe, Isabella, one by one, if you are interested in some detail in terms of contracting. But in general, yes, we are pretty advanced in the contractualization of the capex.
Many thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Andrew McCarthy from Credicorp Capital. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Many thanks, Paolo, Giuseppe, Isabella, for the presentation. My first question was a follow-up on the PEC tariff stabilization mechanism. Apologies if you may have already answered it, the line is not the best today, but just trying to understand, you know, what the alternatives are for, you know, going past June when we reach the, you know, the limit of the $1.35 billion, what your, you know, your conversations have been so far with authorities and what you're seeing as a likely outcome there. That's the first question. And the second question, just a question on the retirement of Boccamina 2. You know, there's been some press reports about that maybe being delayed. Just wanted to understand your take on that, your thoughts on that, whether that is now likely, and if so, until when, and what your contingency plans are for making coal purchases would be. That's the second question. And then the third question is, and again, apologies if you may have already answered it, but just trying to understand how you're at it today, with, you know, 3 months after the strategic plan presentation, how you're feeling about the 2022 EBITDA target that you published at the very end of November and start of December. Just trying to get a handle on whether that now you feel that should maybe be adjusted already. But those are my three questions. Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Let me take the first two and leave to you. Okay, regarding price stabilization mechanism, honestly, what are the alternatives? We can be creative here. Honestly, there are some solution that can be implemented. Honestly, I cannot be in the shoes of who will take this decision. What I can say is that according to the evolution of price of the null, means the reference price of the energy, what we have seen at the end of 2022 is the effect of increase of the number published by the authority had a very, very small increase in terms of price and price of the energy. But what are the expectations for April is that increase, if reflected to the final tariff for the client, should be very huge. So the fund will be colored, and then the gap should be managed in a different way. And I think that the scheme is there. I don't know if there is the possibility to implement additional, very different solution. I think that we have to work on what we have clearly to improve a little bit, because we had a lot of effort to manage this situation from the generation point of view. So I cannot anticipate, because I don't have, an answer for this question. I think that it is something that should be managed starting from, next month, in order to reach the landing point before the period of June, when the fund will be covered, and the consequence could be something that cannot be affordable, in the sense that the increase of the cost of the energy to the final client. So I'm sorry to have been not so comprehensive in the answer, but I don't have a precise question on this. Regarding our coal plant, Boccamina 2, it was in the press since a few weeks. We always express our position. We have announced required the closing of the plant by May 2022. It has been approved. And we have a plan. We are implementing a plan to close the facility. Means to manage properly the coal, the commodity, to manage properly also with big attention our people, the contracted companies that are working there, and also relation with the communities. Any decision that may be taken by the authority that are in charge to make this incentive, this possibility should be done in a very short way. This is what we have all said, because everything has an effect on the way in which we are managing this process, and if the the decision of postponing the closing of the plant will be taken, we have to sit down and to define well the condition for this postponement. But for the time being, the authority that is in charge to take this decision has not yet taken a position. So, but time is running. This is the important point. The time is running, and we cannot react properly at the very last moment. Yeah.
Well, for what concerns the 2022, we confirmed the guidance that we presented in the last Capital Markets Day, so we're going to have an EBITDA between $1 and $1.1 billion. Of course, I mean, as of today, the projection that we see seems, you know, being respected. Clearly, any event can be any disruptive event could affect. But as of today, we continue to keep this guidance. We don't see any issue.
Great. Thank you very much for all the additional color.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions over the phone line. I would like to turn the call back over to Isabella Klein.
Hi. Thank you, Gigi. Actually, we have two questions from the chat. So the first one is from Fernando Gonzalez from BTG. And the question is, if the hydrology is again poor this year, full and spot prices remain high for the second half and you execute your CapEx plan fully, where do you see the leverage by the end of the year? Thank you for your question, Fernando.
Let's start with Fernando. Okay, so first in the list. Okay, this we are defining another, let's say, perfect storm. In the sense that there is a possibility that hydrology is poor again. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is no, possibility to predict precisely what can happen. Clearly, the 2021 was exceptional compared to all the previous years. But so we have to cope with this situation. The difference for this year, for 2022, is that there is a larger availability of Argentinian gas that is supporting a position where LNG gas has been already called, so there is more flexibility optimization from the gas point of view. There is also the extension of the decreto de racionamento preventivo that should, let's say, fix certain rules in managing properly the infrastructure and the use of water. So let's say that the current view cannot be, let's say, so optimistic, because we cannot see that there will be more rain. Clearly, we are also in summertime here, so it's difficult to, let's say, to see the effect of the hydrology year that is starting in April. So the real situation may evolve starting from April and see if there will be rain or not. In this framework, clearly, we see that the situation can be more under control. You have also to consider that we have already added to the system 900 megawatts of renewable capacity. that is a sort of decoupling from the effect of lack of water and the effect of swing in commodity. Other megawatts are to come. Other players are developing their project. So the perfect storm that there are conditions that may change from the perfect storm that we cope with in 2021. And then from our perspective, having a look at the leverage, we are also working to, let's say, to strengthen our financial position with extraordinary measure. So we think that all in all, even if the situation is not so easy, we have put in place an action plan that allow us to have more leverages to manage the difficulties.
Okay, thank you, Paolo. And then we have a second question from Romain Picard, and he's asking about, please provide explanation on how the situation in Russia would affect Enel Chile's costs.
Oh, my first reaction here is to start monitoring what we are doing, the evolution of the commodities and how this Russia can affect our current position. The first review give us, it's a very first feeling, because you know that the situation is ongoing, and the situation in Russia, the first element that can be affected are commodities, in particular gas and coal. From the perspective of our contract, we have not any direct or indirect link with European gas. So the source is more on Atlantic and the other basin. So we don't see a direct impact in terms of volumes. Really, we are in a very very early stage of the situation. But in terms of effect, in terms of price, the contract, the indexes in our contract, is limited enough in terms of, even if considering the swing, larger swing of the Brent, for instance. So for the time being, we see very limited impact on the gas and our gas situation. In terms of coal, really, we are going to shut down our coal facility by May. If something may change, maybe that we have to face additional, let's say, effort to find coal on a spot market in a quite complex situation. But this is something that should be addressed properly within the framework of the extension mechanism for the plant.
Okay, thank you, Paolo. And as there is no more questions, I now conclude our results conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team is available for any doubt you may have. Many thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.